我们今天要聊的呢是这个锚定律啊。
What we're going to talk about today is this set of laws.
它在提升芯片性能上面的一些实际的价值。
It has some practical value in improving chip performance.
以及它到底是不是真的能够成为摩尔定律之后的又一个行业的通用法则。
And whether it can truly become another industry-wide rule after Moore's law.
这个话题最近确实很火啊。
This topic is really hot recently.
那么就直接开始吧。
Then let's start right away.
我们先来谈谈锚定律。
Let's start with the discussion on the tail law.
它合理的部分啊。
The reasonable part.
它到底是在什么样的背景下产生的？
What is the background in which it was produced?
为什么会出现？
这个问题问得很好。
This is a very good question.
其实它的出现就是因为摩尔定律遇到了现实的瓶颈。
In fact, its emergence is due to the bottleneck of Moore's law.
传统的通过不断的缩小晶体管的尺寸来提升性能的这种方式，在到了三纳米、两纳米的时候。
The traditional approach of improving performance by continuously reducing the size of transistors has reached its limits at the 3nm and 2nm levels.
又遇到了很多没有办法解决的问题。
I have encountered many problems that cannot be solved.
对。
Okay.
说到这儿。
Speaking of this.
我想起来之前看到的就是制程越来越小之后。
I remember seeing that as the manufacturing process becomes smaller,
芯片的良品率就越来越难控制了。
It's becoming increasingly difficult to control the yield rate of chips.
是的。
Okay.
除了量子隧穿。
In addition to quantum tunneling,
还有漏电问题。
There are still leakage issues.
很难解决之外。
It is difficult to solve.
先进制程的研发和建厂流片的费用也是高得吓人。
The research and development of advanced processes and the cost of building a factory are also very high. Well,
现在全球几乎只有极少数的公司能够负担得起。
Currently, only a very small number of companies worldwide can afford it.
所以锚定律它就是把关注点从一味的缩小尺寸转到了怎么去优化信号的时延套。
So, the principle is to shift the focus from simply reducing the size to optimizing the signal delay.
错。
Right?
这其实也是行业发展到现在大家公认的一个必须要转的方向。
This is actually the direction that everyone in the industry has recognized and must turn to now.
对了，那锚定律它的技术路径以及它的工程基础到底怎么样？
I want to understand the technical path and engineering foundation of that set of laws.
其实它核心的那些手段。
Actually, the core methods.
比如说逻辑折叠、架构的重构。
For example, the refactoring of the logical folding architecture,
组线的优化
optimize the wiring,
还有阻容压降的控制
Also, there is a control for flow resistance reduction.
这些东西都不是什么全新的概念哦。在
These aren't new concepts at all.
芯片设计里面
In chip design,
大家为了让时序更快，让
Everyone wants to speed up the timeline.
布局更合理，让
Make the layout more reasonable.
模块的堆叠更高效。
Make the stacking of modules more efficient.
其实一直在做类似的事情。
In fact, I have been doing similar things.
目的就是为了降低传输的延迟。
The purpose is to reduce the transmission delay.
锚定律其实是站在很多前人的肩膀上的。
Therefore, applying the law is essentially standing on the shoulders of giants.
那个东西，
对，
并不是空中楼阁。
That's not a floating castle.
没错，没错。
This is correct.
不，而且它的工程门槛也很。
Moreover, its engineering threshold is also very low.
因为逻辑折叠。
Due to logical folding.
这些完全可以通过现有的 EDA 工具和设计经验来实现。
These can all be achieved with my existing EDA tools and design experience.
它不需要去等什么颠覆性的新设备或者新材料。
It doesn't need to wait for a revolutionary new device or material.
它也可以在7纳米。
It can also be used in 7 nanometers.
14纳米。
14 nanometers.
28纳米等各种制程上面去使用。
Used in various processes, such as 28nm and above.
这就可以让很多旧的产线重新焕发生机。
This can allow many old production lines to be revitalized.
所以它的商业价值也是很明显的。
Therefore, its commercial value is also obvious.
明白了。
Understood.
那涛定律它分层的优化思路到底有哪些优势？
What are the advantages of the layered optimization approach of the Tao law?
这个优势可不小。
This is a significant advantage.
它是从器件、电路架构到系统这四个层面一起来协同降低时延。
It aims to reduce latency at the device circuit architecture, system, and four levels.
而不是只看其中的某一个点。
Instead of focusing on just one point,
Well, 这种系统性的方法其实是非常符合芯片性能提升的本质规律的。
This systematic approach is actually very consistent with the fundamental laws of chip performance improvement.
因为你如果只优化其中的某一个环节
Because if you only optimize one aspect,
很容易就会遇到瓶颈。
It's easy to encounter bottlenecks.
只有各个维度一起改
Only change in each dimension,
才能够不断地去挖掘出更多的潜力。
This allows for continuous discovery of more potential.
听起来好像这个方法适用的范围也很广。
It seems like this method is applicable to a wide range of situations.
对啊。
Yes.
这个框架无论是数字芯片。
This framework is suitable for both digital chips and...
通信芯片还是算力芯片都可以用。
Both communication chips and computing chips can be used.
所以它的适用场景特别广。
Therefore, its application scenarios are very broad.
基本上大部分需要提升性能的芯片都可以从中受益。
Basically, most chips that need to be improved in performance can benefit from it.
行。
Okay.
那咱们接下来就该聊一聊涛定律的一些局限。
So, let's talk about the limitations of the law next.
或者说它的一些不合理的地方。
Or, to put it another way, some of its flaws. Well,
它在性能提升上面到底有哪些没有办法突破的
What are the performance improvements that cannot be achieved?
天花板。
Ceiling.
最大的问题就在于信号的传输延迟是由很多物理因素共同决定的。
The biggest problem is that the transmission delay of the signal is determined by many physical factors.
比如说走线的长度。
For example, the length of the cable.
材料的电阻率。
Resistivity of materials.
寄生电容。
Parasitic capacitor.
还有开关的速度。
There is also the speed of the switch.
这些东西每一个都有一个极限。
Each of these things has its limit.
没错。
Right.
不管你怎么去优化。
No matter how you optimize.
都没有办法让时延小于这个由物理材料和芯片的封装等等。
There is no way to make the delay smaller than this, which is determined by the physical material and the chip's packaging, etc.
这些因素所设定的一个边界。
These factors set a boundary.
所以说就是时延的优化不可能像摩尔定律那样。
Therefore, it's impossible for Moore's law to be achieved through optimization.
一直持续的给你带来指数级的性能提升。
Continuously brings you exponential performance improvements.
没错没错。
Absolutely, absolutely.
因为一开始的时候你去调整走线
Because at the beginning you were adjusting the routing
调整电路的布局效果是很明显的
The effect of adjusting the layout of the circuit is obvious.
但是你越往后，能够提升的空间就越来越小。
嗯。
However, the deeper you go, the less you can improve.
最后。
Well,
后你就会碰到一个无法跨越的平台期。
Finally, you will encounter a platform that cannot be crossed.
所以它没有办法像摩尔定律那样几十年持续的翻倍。
Therefore, it cannot continue to double every few decades like Moore's law.
既然这样的话
If that's the case,
为什么说把涛定律称为替代摩尔定律的新的通用定律有点言过其实了？
It's a bit of an exaggeration to say that the Moore's law replacement, the universal law, is a replacement for Moore's law.
这是因为在半导体行业里面
This is because in the semiconductor industry,
其实一直都有很多各种各样的时序的架构的封装的优化方法。
In fact, there have been many different and continuous methods for encapsulating and optimizing architectures.
同时在发展，涛定律。
At the same time, develop the tail law.
其实只是把这个时延的优化做了一个系统化的整理和归纳。
In fact, it's just a systematic organization and summarization of this delay optimization.
对，
它并不是一个全新的底层的物理规律的发现。
This is not a discovery of a completely new fundamental physical law.
所以它跟摩尔定律其实根本就不是一回事。
Therefore, it is completely different from Moore's law.
完全正确。
Absolutely correct.
摩尔定律它是一个对整个行业的，从器件到工艺。
Moore's law is a principle that applies to the entire industry from devices to processes.
到成本
to cost,
再到生态的一个发展趋势的总结
summarize the latest trends in ecological development.
但是涛定律它其实只是在芯片设计和架构这个层面的一个优化的方法论。
However, the set of rules is actually just an optimization methodology at the level of chip design and architecture.
是的。
Yes.
他们两个根本就不在一个维度上面。
They are completely different.
所以不存在谁取代谁。
Therefore, there is no one to replace.
谁把涛定律称为新一代的定律其实是有点夸大了。
Who calls the set theory a new generation of laws is a bit exaggerated.
嗯。
Well,
那涛定律在实际应用的过程当中
These laws are applied in practice.
会遇到哪些比较棘手的技术上的取舍
What are the most challenging technical trade-offs you will encounter?
或者说副作用
Or side effects.
这个问题很关键。
This is a very important question.
比如说为了要降低时延
For example, to reduce latency.
采用了逻辑折叠或者说模块的高密度堆叠
Adopted logical folding or high density stacking of modules.
这样的话就会让芯片的局部的热密度急剧的上升
This will cause a rapid increase in the local heat density of the chip.
那散热就变得非常的困难
That makes it very difficult to dissipate heat.
没错。
Right?
尤其是对于手机啊
Especially for phones.
或者说一些小型的设备来说
Or for smaller devices.
这个挑战就更大了。
This challenge is even greater.
确实。
这散热问题不解决。
Indeed, if this cooling problem is not solved.
直接影响产品的稳定性和寿命啊。
Directly affects the stability and lifespan of the product.
而且逻辑折叠
and logical folding.
它还会让传统的模块化的设计变得非常的混乱
It will also make traditional modular designs very chaotic.
那时序的校验、故障的定位、包括后续的改版都会变得更难
At that time, locating and fixing the validation errors would become even more difficult, and subsequent updates would also become more difficult.
同时它的这个架构和布线都是高度定制的。
At the same time, its architecture and wiring are highly customized.
所以 IP 核的复用还有跨平台的移植也会变得很困难。
Therefore, reusing IP cores and porting across platforms will become very difficult. Well,
这些都是在实际的工程当中没有办法回避的一些现实的问题。
These are all practical problems that cannot be avoided in actual engineering.
既然这样的话
，So,
涛定律为什么没有办法满足高端的 AI 算力
？Why can't the TLA time limit algorithm satisfy the high-end AI computing power?
或者说超算这些对于集成密度要求非常高的应用场景呢？
Or for applications with very high integration density requirements, such as supercomputers.
其实很简单。
In fact, it's very simple.
像顶级的 AI 芯片。
Like top-tier AI chips.
超级计算机。
Supercomputer.
或者说高端手机的 SOC.
Or high-end mobile phone SoCs.
他们不光是要运算速度快。
They are not only about fast computation speed,
还需要在很小的面积上面集成海量的晶体管。那涛定律
Also, the ability to integrate a large number of transistors on a small area with a fixed rate.
虽然可以让晶体管的开关速度更快
Although it can make the switching speed of the transistor faster.
但是它没有办法增加单位面积上面晶体管的数量。
However, it cannot increase the number of transistors per unit area.
是的。
This.
所以对于需要极大的算力。
Therefore, for those who need a large amount of cushioning.
或者说需要非常大的缓存的这种需求。
Or, in other words, the need for a very large cache.
它是没有办法靠单纯的提升速度来弥补的。
There is no way to make up for it by simply increasing the speed.
这么说的话
That said,
涛定律在高端芯片领域就只能做一个辅助的手段。
In the field of high-end chips, the law of the jungle can only be used as a supplementary measure.
而不是一个主力的解决方案了。
Not a large solution.
对。
Okay?
没错，没错。
Absolutely, absolutely.
它的适用范围是有天然的边界的。
Scope of application has natural boundaries.
它只能是一个补充。
It can only be a supplement.
没有办法覆盖所有高端芯片的需求。
There is no way to meet the demand for all high-end chips.
懂了。
Right.
那现在这个行业内在衡量涛定律量产效果的时候
，Now.When the industry uses the internal measurement of the production effect,
到底有没有一个统一的量化的标准
？Is there a unified quantitative standard?
这个还真没有。
I don't have one.
现在大家说的所谓的等效多少纳米的性能
？Now, what people are referring to as equivalent performance in terms of nanometers?
其实只是一个各家自己去定义的对标方式。
In fact, it's just a way for each company to define its own benchmark.
并不是说真的就等于那个物理支撑。
This doesn't mean it's actually a physical support. Well,
而且整个行业里面也没有一个统一的从食盐到等效制程的换算的公式。
Moreover, there is no unified formula in the entire industry for converting from salt to equivalent products.
所以不同的企业
Therefore, different companies
也不同的产品之间
Different products
这些数据是很难直接去比较的
These data are difficult to compare directly
也就是说
That is to say
说单纯的靠食盐这个数字没有办法全面的评价
Simply relying on the number of salt intake cannot be used to comprehensively evaluate
下一颗芯片的实际表现
完全正确。
The actual performance of a chip is completely correct.
因为芯片的性能提升它
Due to the improvement in chip performance,
它是包括了峰值速度
It includes peak speed,
持续运行的速度
Continuous running speed,
功耗等等多方面的
In terms of power consumption and other aspects.
只看食盐的话太片面了。
only focusing on the time factor is too narrow-minded.
是的。
This
没有办法反映芯片整体的优劣。
There is no way to reflect the overall strengths and weaknesses of the chip.
我还有个疑问啊。
I have another question.
就是滔定率在整个半导体行业里面。
The principle of one time is widely used in the semiconductor industry.
到底应该怎么去客观地评价它的价值？
How to objectively evaluate its value.
以及它未来的发展空间。
And its future development potential.
这个问题问得很有深度啊。
This is a very profound question.
滔定率其实是一个非常务实的后摩尔时代的补充方案，特别适合那种对成本比较敏感。
The Tao law is actually a very practical solution from the post-Moore era, especially suitable for those who are sensitive to cost.
然后又希望能够在成熟制程上面去提升信号传输速度的一些应用。
Then, I also hope to be able to improve the signal transmission speed on mature processes for some applications.
比如说通信。
For example, communication,
工控,
control panel,
物联网这些领域。
These areas of the Internet of Things,
确实,它的工程价值是非常突出的。
Indeed, its engineering value is very prominent.
所以它更像是一个精修细补的高手。
So it's more like a master who has refined and perfected his skills,
而不是一个开天辟地的革命者。
Not a revolutionary who created a new world.
错。
Wrong.
没错。
White.
它确实是一个存量优化的利器。
It is indeed a tool for optimizing existing resources.
它不可能去取代物理制程的微缩。
It cannot replace the miniaturization of physical processes.
它会跟先进制程。
It will follow the previous process.
新型封装以及新材料这些路线一起并存。
The roots of new packaging and new materials will coexist.
嗯。
Well,
而且它在三到八年之内还可以继续的带来性能的提升。
Moreover, it can continue to bring performance improvements within 3 to 8 years.
但是最终它还是会撞上物理极限。
But it will eventually hit a physical limit.
并且会受到设计的难度。
And also affected by the design difficulty.
散热的问题。
The problem of heat dissipation.
兼容性的挑战等等这些因素的制约。
Challenges such as compatibility and other factors.
所以它并不是一个完美无缺的终极方案。
OK 了。
So, it's not a perfect ultimate solution.
我们今天聊了滔定率的优势和它的短板，也捋清楚了。
Today, we discussed the advantages and disadvantages of the set theory.
在现有的半导体的技术体系里面。
It is in the existing semiconductor technology system.
到底能够扮演一个什么样的角色？
What kind of role can be played?
行。
Okay.
那我们这期节目就到这里了。
Then this episode is over.
感谢大家的收听。
Thank you for listening.
咱们下期再见。
See you next time.
拜拜，拜拜。
Bye bye bye.